I tell parents, instead of thinking about an escalator, think about 6 revolving doors, all stacked on top of each other. You can enter and exit at any point, and as soon as you complete your cycle, as soon as you get all the way through the material, you shoot through the ceiling, which will be the floor on the next level, and then you're going around that cycle, and you can enter and exit at any point on the second level, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. We have 6 levels. That's how we take children through students. That's how we take them through the elementary stage of piano.
You're listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from Top Music. Tune in weekly as we interview music teachers and experts from around the world to explore creative activities and ideas that build learning connections in students. Our integrated music teaching approach will deepen your students' understanding of musical concepts, engage them in critical thinking, improve their reading and performance, foster their curiosity, and prepare them for a lifetime of music making. Tim Topham here, and welcome back to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from Top Music Co. Great to be with you for another fun discussion all about music teaching. Today, we're actually starting a new theme on the blog and podcast, and the new theme is group teaching. It's such a popular topic, and there have been so many questions over the last 6 months. There seems to have been a real explosion, actually, in interest. We've had information up on our blog, and I've done webinars, and we've got courses inside our Top Music Pro membership on group teaching. We've got 2 different courses, one on the business side and one on the pedagogy side. And we've had them up there for, I'd say, 4 or 5 years. It was quite an early topic that we looked at. And it's been something, an undercurrent in a lot of the discussions that I have with teachers about options around group teaching, because not all group teaching has to be, you know, don't picture it's necessarily 8 kids in a room or anything. Group teaching can just be adding one child to the one that you already have and doing pairs or buddies or small groups or rotations or 30-30-30s. I mean, there's so many different models that you can use. You can have multi-age groups. You can have single-age groups. So there's lots to unpack and discuss, and I know lots of teachers have questions on it too. So I thought this, in the coming weeks, we'll unpack it a little bit more on the podcast and also on the blog and on our social media. And we're going to be starting today with a repeat guest. You're going to know him as one of the studio marketing guys out there. It's Daniel Patterson from Grow Your Music Studio. And today he's going to be joined by a guest and group teaching entrepreneur, Greg Genter. And we're going to have a discussion with them all about some of the challenges and possible solutions around group teaching. Now, before we get into that, I would love to read one of our reviews. This is from Mummy Amy F. in the United States. I'm not sure. I think it's Amy, I assume. She said, "This is the number one resource for piano teachers worldwide. I've learned more in a few months from listening to these podcasts than the whole 4 years I spent as a music major in college. There is a wealth of information, ideas, resources, support, motivation, and encouragement for teachers. I already feel I'm twice the teacher I ever was before, and that's after 20 years plus of teaching from listening to this podcast. The future of music lessons and creative music teachers is in good hands if teachers listen to this podcast. Tim, you are phenomenal. Thank you for what you are doing. I wake up every day now absolutely ecstatic that I'm a music teacher." Well, thank you so much, Mummy Amy F. We can't see your emails for the reviews. So if you're listening to this episode and you recognize your review, can you please email support@topmusic.co so that we can forward you a thank you gift? It's amazing to read reviews like this, and I'd like to start reading out more reviews each week. So we'll be randomly choosing some to read out, and anyone chosen and published on the blog and the podcast here when I read it out will receive a gift. So here's my request to you. If you get value from this podcast, if you've enjoyed the episodes, if you've learned something, if you tried something new and had success, if you could spare just 3 to 5 minutes to leave a review, I'd really appreciate it. It not only helps us be found by more teachers, but allows us a better chance of achieving our mission of more children and adults learning music and sticking with it for life. If you're not too sure how to leave a podcast review, then head over to topmusic.co/iTunes and all the instructions are over there. I look forward to reading yours. So I've got 2 guests today. Firstly, Daniel Patterson. He's the founder of growyourmusicstudio.com. He began teaching piano in 2004. After a decade of teaching, he began to help other music studios and schools solve common problems that plague our industry. He has helped hundreds of music schools and private studios with increasing their student count and revenue. Additionally, he has helped hundreds of studios convert to multi-level group teaching. And my second guest today, Greg Genter, is the founder and owner of The Piano Express Studio in Ashburn, Virginia. Greg's students have earned multiple NVMTA awards, as well as RCM State Certificates of Excellence and a National Gold Medal. In 2020, the RCM selected Greg as the Teacher of Distinction for the southeastern region of the USA. He lives in Northern Virginia, where he is sought after as a teacher, lecturer, accompanist, and performer. He's the founder of the Piano Express Group Method and a co-founder of grouplessons.com. All right. Welcome to the show, Daniel and Greg. Great to see you both.
Hey, good to be back, Tim.
So, Daniel, you've been on the podcast. I did a little bit of research. Episode 90, How to Grow Your Studio Like a Pro. Then episode 210, Why Studio Marketing Matters at Any Stage. And that was a replay from an amazing live stream that I saw you do. You were happy to let us restream that, which was super cool. And I always get great feedback about the kinds of suggestions that you're making. So, and you're working as a coach for music studio owners, particularly around the business admin and systems and marketing. How are you finding the general market for music lessons right now? I get the sense that some teachers are finding it pretty tough and then others seem to be having kind of blockbuster years. What's going on?
Okay, it's a good question. Let me just start by saying that let's talk about the data of it all. So I work with a lot of students every year, hundreds, and in the process of working with them, at least the ones that I work on in marketing, which is a subset of that hundreds, I have access to their metrics. So I'm seeing data come in from all over the United States, all over Australia, Europe, and can compare that trend-wise to previous years. And what I would say is that the only significant change that I've seen is probably just around that ad costs in general have drifted up over time. And even as I look back at clients that I worked with in 2017, 2018, you know, pre-pandemic and all that sort of thing, even within those studios, provided their budget stayed the same, they were largely getting the same number of impressions on their ads, the same number of clicks, the same number of people coming to their site through their ads. And when I look at their sites in general, you know, again, I see a fairly consistent number. And that's a pretty cool thing when you can look back over the course of half a decade and look at the number of people visiting their site, look at the number of people actually filling out the form on their site to contact them and say, wow, it's actually been remarkably consistent and steady, even through the pandemic year. And I'll, you know, toss it back over to you in a second, Tim, as soon as I say this, but even the pandemic year, there were folks that they lost a lot of students right at the beginning of the pandemic because of the change. And then they just had a whole new influx of students come in because there was kind of a disruption. So I would say that this is yet again another place where people, if you're a glass half empty kind of person versus a glass half full, you might have one person might be overly optimistic, the other might be overly pessimistic, but the data doesn't lie. So you can let that kind of temper your thoughts and either help you to be encouraged or, you know, to be, I guess I would want to say unencouraged if you're more optimistic. If you're more optimistic, just let it go, you know, keep going that way. But yeah, I just don't know if I see such a massive change in things that we're in some kind of new milieu.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's interesting to hear. You've just reminded me, I've got some feedback from one of our members. Christina shared that she's finally got back to her pre-pandemic student level. And said, thanks to Top Music, it's less stressful than it was pre-pandemic because she's now got systems and power. We've got our power hours and systems in place to make things easier. So that is super cool. So I have a feeling it's a different new, but perhaps as you're saying, there's always going to be people who are having ups and downs, but maybe it's kind of leveling back where it maybe was before. What about you, Greg? What have you sort of seen and heard around the place?
As far as numbers, I am a studio owner, so I'm not a coach. So I can just tell you what's happening on my runway. We did lose about 30% of our students at the beginning of the pandemic. We had to go completely online, and that wasn't going to work with all of our families. And it took some time to build back, but we are definitely back to pre-pandemic numbers. I think that it's back to life as usual now. In fact, our numbers are slightly better than they've ever been. There was, as I expected, I was expecting, you know, when the doors started to reopen in communities, everyone was really anxious after 2 years of kind of hunkered down. You know, everyone was anxious to get back to regular life. And there were so many parents that were holding their kids and they're like, okay, now we're going to go out and we're going to do everything. And piano and music education was one of those things. And we saw kind of just a spike enrollment. And then that's kind of held strong since then.
That's great to hear. Well, we're going to hear more about Greg and what you've been up to, but the way I actually met and heard about Greg was through a podcast, Daniel, that you've started with a mate of yours called Nate, which is called the Seven Figure Music Studio. So how did you guys start working together?
How Nate and I started working together?
Right. Yes.
Well, as our podcast name suggests, Nate is
the podcast
actually
the owner. Called the Seven Figure Music Studio, for those who aren't sure.
Yeah, Seven Figure Music School is the name of the podcast. And the way Nate and I were connected was that I had been on another podcast in the industry in late 2019. And Nate actually reached out to me because of that podcast. They have an enormous school in Brooklyn, New York. Pre-pandemic, they were well over seven figures in revenue a year. And they hired me to come in and help them with their marketing systems. So I came in, I worked with their internal marketing team. I worked with him as a CEO. We worked for a good portion of 2020. I helped them through the pandemic. I helped them get a bunch of funnels up that helped them start their online program. And as I was working with Nate, I just had this sense that I've worked with a lot of big schools, but I never worked with a school that ran like such a well-oiled machine. And I was impressed with just their systems and all these things internally. So even after my work with him was done, I continued to stay in touch with Nate. And I said, hey, what if we started a podcast where we just start talking about something that we both love, which is running a systems-based business? In my opinion, a systems-based business is superior to any other kind of business because the systems do a lot of the work for you. And so Nate being kind of the poster child for that and me, you know, kind of being the coach, we kind of had this perfect relationship where it was like Nate was kind of a content expert at all this stuff. And I kind of had the coaching and marketing piece and he kind of had the hiring piece. And just together, we felt that we could create something better than what either one of us could create alone. So we started this podcast. It aired, first episode aired December 1st of 2021. And Nate and I actually just finished recording episode 61 this past week, which will air a couple months from it. Yeah. So we've been at it really hard. We've had Sarah Campbell on the podcast. I know she's been on your podcast.
Yeah,
we've obviously had Greg on there. But let me even say something. People hear that name, like Seven Figure Music School. And, you know, while yes, there are seven figure schools out there and there are mid-sized schools that might want to grow to that. While that is the case, really the focus of our work is not so much on, oh, everyone needs to have a seven-figure business. That really isn't it. Really, kind of the deeper mission there is, can we help a school owner run their school in a sustainable way that doesn't take a lot of time, that doesn't completely dominate their life? We went to music school. We didn't go to music. We went to music school to get a degree so that we could teach music, so that we could inspire, so that we could educate. We didn't go so that we could spend 40 hours a week doing admin and hiring and recruiting. And so whether you are a single teacher studio that has maybe an assistant or whether you've got a staff of 20, it's kind of my personal mission. Like, what are the things that I can help other people do so that they can focus on only the aspects of the job that they truly, truly love and find ways to automate, delegate, or eliminate things that don't spark joy, that right. don't bring joy, you know?
There we go. Fondo would be impressed, yes.
Right, right. So that's kind of, you know, again, the podcast title is provocative, but there is kind of a deeper thoughtfulness to that. And that's kind of my thoughts around that.
Yeah, it's almost more to the point would be, you know, building a systems-based school or something like that, because that's what I get when I listen to your episodes. And I like being reminded systems, automation systems, just so important. And if I go back and look back, we're up to episode 300 and I don't know what at the moment. If I go back to the first ones, one of the first people I hired in my business was someone that could look after the podcast. So all I had to do was find the guest and record the interview.
and then have the system take over after that. And so I built this process whereby I put this in Dropbox and someone knows what to do with that, and then it gets edited, and then the show notes are made and it published, all this kind of stuff. And that is a system, and we still use that system today. It's changed the people that are doing it, and some of the technology has changed, but the system has remained the same. And so I really encourage teachers listening, the more you can systemize things in your studio so you're not doing the same thing from scratch every time, the better. Because, of course, the next step once you've got the system is, can some software help you, or can a VA or an assistant of some sort help you run the system? And I think that's one of the key things that you work with studios on.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, you know, Tim, you couldn't run something like Top Music Pro or this podcast and all the things you've got going on if you didn't have awesome systems in place. So I know you've got all that stuff down.
Could always be improved, though. That's what I always
do.
All right. Yeah. So look, Greg's been very quiet there, but Greg, I want to dive in and find out a bit more about what you're doing, because we want to talk about group teaching. It's become quite popular of late, even though we've been talking about it for, well, more than a decade, I think, particularly. And Daniel, you used to run your own studio. Greg, you do run a group teaching studio. So now, Greg, I've heard about you and your program on Nate and Daniel's podcast. So you've built a curriculum and a system for running group studios, which you're building at grouplessons.com. Why do you guys, I don't know who wants to take this, why is Group Lessons, it seems to be gaining a bit more traction than usual right now. Why is that?
I can jump in and just weigh in. Daniel, if you want to add. I think that there's two things that just come to mind, and I can only guess, you know, why are so many people who wouldn't have considered a teaching environment now considering it? I think that the pandemic forced a lot of teachers to change their environment. A lot of teachers went from in person to online, you know, against their will. They, you know, and I think just having our community of music educators see a major change, but then nothing blew up. Education kept working. It kept going forward. I think it's kind of rattled a lot of people free. There's a freedom in that to think, well, if that can change, maybe other things can change. Because piano has been taught for hundreds of years now, 400 years, one teacher, one child, one room, one piano. And that's the way it's looked. And that's the tradition. That's still the tradition. That's still the way most teachers are going to continue teaching this year. But there's also this new thing that we all saw. If you take that away and change the environment, it still works. And so a lot of teachers are looking at group lessons as like something that, well, maybe, you know, if online lessons works, maybe group lessons will work too. The other thing I would say is people are always encouraged when they see someone else succeed, right? People started breaking the 4-minute mile after one person broke the 4-minute mile. It started getting broken on a regular basis because one person did it. And I think
it became possible, right?
Right. It was believed to be impossible, but then it happened. And I think the more we see studios successfully create a group lesson program that creates great results, because I think that's the big skepticism with the teachers that have been teaching, you know, that traditional way. And I say that by experience, because I was a skeptic of group lessons for a long time. I didn't believe that it was an environment that was going to produce top level students. But the more we see it, you know, the proof is in the pudding, you know, it's in the results. We see other people do it. We're like, oh, okay, someone just did it. Well, I now can't argue with it's possible, you know. And so I think now that our community of teachers are waking up to the reality that you can have great results, a great environment in group lessons, people are curious, and a lot of people are willing to give it a try.
I would even add one thing on top of that, not in opposition to Greg, but you make such a good point that when I started blogging in early 2016, so Grow became a thing in February of 2016, and no small part to you even, Tim, because you looked at one of those first resources I gave away and you gave it an endorsement. I know that was really helpful early on, along with Joy Morin. And there was just so much less visibility at that time. There was so much less support available. If you think back to the mid 2010s, really our industry was just beginning to come online, I would almost say. Like, obviously, you'd been around, Joy had been around, the DAOs had been around. But if you compare now, this moment, to that moment just 7 years ago, there is just an explosion and a plethora of tools and resources and coaches and preschool curriculums, all kinds of things. And everyone is so much more connected. And I think going to what Greg said, back then, it might have been difficult to get information on group lessons. It might have been difficult to get information on digital marketing. That is not the case anymore. So we're really building on the shoulders of giants. We're building on all this shared knowledge, this collaborative knowledge that's been put out into the space for free. And I think people are building on top of that. The time that it takes to begin experimenting or doing things differently, just that learning curve is much shorter for people now because of the abundance of tools and resources out there.
Mm, I agree. Greg, you mentioned the skepticism of teachers. I think there's also a skepticism in parents as well, to some extent. And regardless of how many football trainings, dance classes their children do in group formats, there still can be somewhat of a stigma, for particularly for parents who experience the one-on-one lesson themselves, that this is second class somehow. This is not the premium. How do you go about helping parents understand that better?
Well, for me personally, my studio, we teach students that are in the method book stage in group lessons. We do eventually transition our students to private lessons, and we will take our committed students and we put them in standardized testing. We put them in competitions, and we are certainly not the studio that like needs to win at every competition, but we stand shoulder to shoulder with the studios that do. And so our students, we, again, I just come back to results. If parents are skeptical of the environment, I always go back and I say, well, look at these results. You know, look at these students that we produced. Here's our, we have on our webpage just a few videos of students in the last couple of years that have, you know, performed in some competitive and judge venues and have done well. And we steer them there. That has taken time for us. That doesn't happen overnight, but, it's humbling. In the last 2 weeks, we've had three families walk in off the street. I never met them. I didn't know who they were, but they came to me and they said, we're ready to start piano. And we've heard that the Piano Express is the place to be, you know? And so reputation, it takes time. I would say that is a long war and not a quick battle that you have to win.
Yeah. For teachers who want to change, it's always, you know, one of the big questions, you know, how do I do this? How do I notify the parents? How do we let them know when there's no results in my studio yet? And for the ones that I've coached through, it's a matter of starting with a small group. So just start with one group, maybe take four of your kids, put them together, explore it, try it out, see how it goes, and then use those results to encourage others in if that's one of the ways you want to go. But then there are other teachers who just go, right, I'm changing the whole thing. You either stick with me or you're out. And now we're just doing groups. And I've interviewed Christina Whitlock, I'm thinking, did that the start of this year. She's got her podcast and it's quite revolutionized her, well, all sorts of elements around her time, scheduling, income, all that kind of stuff.
I would say that, I'm only saying things that I've heard Daniel say that he said it first, but I completely agree. That fear of what the parents are going to think is almost always going to be much stronger in the mind of the teacher than it is in the reality of the parent. Most parents, you know, they're busy. They've got their kids in a lot of activities, and the piano teacher says, okay, we're going to start doing group lessons instead of one-on-one. Most parents are going to be like, fine, it's great. You know, and the teacher's like, I wonder what the parents are going to think. I hope this doesn't ruin my career. And I would say it's always a good move if teachers do what they know is best for them and for their career. If you're taking care of yourself, you're going to be a better teacher for it. And your career, your students, everything's going to trickle down and your service to your community is going to be better for it. So if it's a move that you believe is going to help you, you know, don't listen to your fear. Do what's right.
I want to dive into your group lessons program, because there's actually as Daniel said, there's more and more group lesson programs out there. And I remember interviewing Mayron Cole, one of the earliest pioneers who retired and just gave away all her stuff. And a number of other people have started creating resources and curriculum for group lessons. So I'm keen to hear what's different, how yours works. Can you give us a bit of an inside scoop on it all?
I'll start by going back to my problems with group lessons before I started teaching group lessons. I was running a summer camp, and actually Daniel and I, we go way back. So we were running the summer camp together.
Together in the mid 2000s.
Daniel, you've told me about your summer camps. That's where it all started, right?
Yeah. So we were getting, getting a lot of students.
Okay.
A lot of students were interested in me as a teacher, more students than I could take. And I didn't want a wait list. It really bothered me because I had these, I was teaching all one-on-one lessons. I had some students that were committed, honestly, some students that were not, some students that I had to sit with and wait for the time to be, you know, students that don't want to learn piano, but the parents are making them, they don't practice. Every teacher's been through that. And then it would drive me crazy that, and then I have a wait list. I don't know if this next student that I can't even fit into my schedule is going to be the next Mozart, but what can I do? You know, I can't even meet with them. And so I really wanted to do group lessons, to just be able to get kids off my wait list and be able to say yes to everyone. I am a yes person, to a fault. And, but I held my ground for two reasons. Number one, I saw group lessons as a huge time management problem for teachers. I imagined a bunch of students in a circle and a teacher just going around the circle. Okay, let me listen to your song. Okay, everyone else, I'll be there. Wait your turn. Okay, good. Nope. This is fix this. Okay, let me play it for you. Okay, guys, I'll be there in a minute. Wait your turn. You know, and then I get around the circle and after an hour, everyone's gotten a few minutes of my time. And I'm just like, I can't do that. That's not even glorified babysitting. That's thievery. You know, if I'm charging money for that. And so that's how I envision group lessons is like this, like we're losing so much time with me and the students. That's number one. The other thing is there was logistical problems. Every method out there that I've ever seen, you start kids at the beginning, right? Here's middle C. Here's the white key, black key pattern. Here's a steady beat. And let's build a few melodies. Okay, we're a few weeks in. Now we're playing Yankee Doodle and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And then the phone rings. Hey, can we start your program? Oh, well, we're already 5 weeks in, you know? And so now what do I say to this student? Either I bring them in and then it dilutes the content of the class, or I tell that family, oh, well, we'll start our next semester in another 10 weeks. Well, that gives, or he's four or five, whatever it is, that gives that family several weeks to call every other studio in town and find, because they're calling you today. They want to start today. And so there was those logistical problems, time management problems. And I wouldn't budge. I was like, I'm going to keep teaching one-on-one lessons until I figure this out. Okay. Fast forward, I'm not going to give you the whole long story on how I came to it, but after a lot of brainstorming, trial and error, we believe at the Piano Express and at grouplessons.com, we have solved these fundamental challenges. And I don't want to say that they're problems. They are challenges because there are teachers that teach through these challenges and still have different measures of success. But we have faced these challenges head on. Okay, we've dealt with the time management issue with technology. We have all of our pianos connected through a software to our web platform, the Piano Express, play.thepianoexpress.com. And students can play along with background tracks and they can get graded. The software gives them feedback on how accurate their performance is. And so it gamifies things for students, and it is a huge time management tool for teachers. We can set a group of students in a row, in a circle, and we can say, okay, everybody plug in and go, and I can start checking scores. I don't have to listen to everything in real time while we're in our, what I call our assessment phase, which is not the whole class. It's just the first half of class for the first 30 minutes. Everyone's doing assessment. And it's so efficient. It's done all at once. Everyone's simultaneously working through, did I practice properly? Am I ready for new songs? What do my new songs sound like? Everything that would have to happen in real time in single file without technology, we do simultaneously. Then I have a whole 30 minutes left in the hour to just teach. And that's wonderful. I take a bunch of beginners and we teach theory. We teach technique. I do what Daniel said earlier in the podcast. I do what I went to school to do, to music school to do, to be a teacher. And that does spark joy in me every day. So with the time management issue, we have a software solution. With the phone call 5 weeks into our program, what are we going to do with that? We very, very carefully thought through the way we introduce concepts at the Piano Express in our method. This is one of the things that makes us unique. We call it a revolving door as opposed to an escalator. Okay. Every method out there works like an escalator. You teach one concept, then in the next unit, you review that concept and you build onto it. You teach a third concept, fourth concept, and you just build and build and build, and you go up like an escalator. And that makes total sense. That's perfectly fine if you're teaching a one-on-one lesson. But everyone that's ever taught group knows that that's a problem fundamentally in group lessons, because children are going to go at different paces. Some child's going to finish the book and go to level two before someone else. And if you have a level two class, do you make
what
that?
Do you
make the student wait for everyone else? Do you send them into the middle of level two and they've missed half the book? So what we've done is we've written all of our lesson plans like a sitcom writer writes sitcom episodes. You can enter and exit at any time, even though there's a longer story being told across the semester. We introduce concepts one at a time and we trade them in and out instead of building them on top of each other. And every lesson starts with a fundamental core. There's core concepts that you need to know to be in that level. Even at the very beginning, our level one, for example, the core is just steady beat, finger numbers, alphabet letters. We do A, B, C, D, E, F, G on the keys. And that's it. And so we review that core every week. Every week we do the core. And then we do one other concept, not a stack, one. And that concept changes every 4 weeks, and every 12 weeks we cycle around. So the cycle takes three months, 12 weeks.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take a moment to let you know about an amazing community of music teachers ready to welcome you over at Top Music Pro. Top Music Pro is the global hub for music teachers looking to connect, learn, grow, and be challenged in both their teaching and studio businesses. Community members save time by accessing hundreds of step-by-step lesson plans, creative teaching frameworks, business guides, online courses, and workshops. We offer training in topics as diverse as music technique, lead sheets, website building, intermediate repertoire, group teaching, and special needs teaching. We also save you money through our extensive discounts, including those with Music Notes, Sheet Music Plus, Music Room, Office Depot, Tonebase, and many more. And if you like sheet music, all our members get a free book of studio licensed, beautifully engraved sheet music each and every month. As a valued podcast listener, you can check out the Top Music Pro community free for 14 days by heading to topmusicpro.com, clicking Join Now on our studio tier, and using the special coupon code IMTPOD23. That's all one word. So that's IMTPOD23. We can't wait to welcome you inside.
Greg, you mind if I jump in?
Please do.
Because so I believe in this so much, but my own son's taking through this method. And what I observed and how it looks different from another method is that if you're in week eight, let's say, you're only seeing the concept for that part of the core. And then when you move into that kind of that back third, you don't see those other concepts. So, Greg, what's that fancy term? Accumulation, right?
Accumulation.
Yeah. So every method has accumulation. It's just we're doing accumulation differently. And that's what allows students to go in and out at will. So you might have a child get through level two really, really quickly. Like, let's say in 9 weeks, they can shoot immediately into week 10 of level three and only have to work with that concept right there. And because of how we've built the method, they're not going to be hopelessly behind or, you know, kind of drowning because there's such an immense skill jump needed to make that transition. It feels very smooth.
I tell parents, instead of thinking about an escalator, think about six revolving doors, all stacked on top of each other. You can enter and exit at any point, and as soon as you complete your cycle, as soon as you get all the way through the material, you shoot through the ceiling, which will be the floor on the next level, and then you're going around that cycle, and you can enter and exit at any point on the second level, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. We have six levels. That's how we take children through students. That's how we take them through the elementary stage of piano.
Well, I was just going to say, on the business side of things, what that translates to is, because the system is so efficient and because of kind of this unique structure, what that's allowed a lot of people who, because there's an increasing number of schools that are using this, it allows practically a studio to see 12 kids an hour with just one teacher. And we even have schools doing this that have two teachers running this, and they can see 24 kids an hour with this and still produce students that are doing really, really well, like an RCM or kind of the Australian equivalent AMEB. But let me kick it back over to you, because I just wanted to throw in that little business thing there.
Right. Does the revolving concept mean that it's slower, though?
Okay, good question. So we have a revolving door concept that allows open enrollment at every level year-round. But the software component, when we put that together, we have our students, we tell all of our students, you move from level one to level two, not when you sit through 12 weeks or complete a semester. You actually move from level one to level two when you get a passing score on the software in your songbook. Okay.
That makes sense. So when you can demonstrate that you are at that level, you can move up. You know, it's not a right, time thing, it's skill-based.
Yeah. And so it's actually incredibly efficient. Students are working in group lessons, but they are truly self-paced. Okay. We just saw this month, we just saw one of our biggest, sometimes we see like rare successes. We had a girl, she showed up she's maybe 10 years old. She's very nervous on the open house. We do like an open house session instead of a trial lesson. We want to introduce families to our system. She wouldn't make eye contact with me. She wouldn't put on her headphones. She wouldn't touch the piano. She wouldn't talk to me. But I was engaging her and her mom at the same time, kind of giving them some space. She came back her first week, took the book home. Next week, finished, completed. We have tutorial videos built into the app. So if students work ahead, they can sort of see snapshots of what are in the class. And we just immediately let her go to level two after 1 week. Now, there's going to be people listening to this podcast are like, but then what happened? Did they miss lesson plans? Did they miss concepts? Yeah, the same as like here in the US, like when students, sometimes in elementary school, teachers will say, this student can skip third grade. Let's send them straight to fourth grade. You know, what about like the specific like things that are covered in history and science that they miss it, but they're okay. They need to be up a level. They're ready for it. They figured it out. She came back the next week and she finished her second book. And so we sent her straight to level three. And I've seen this happen a few times. It works. If anyone wants to go through the trouble, if you go to our studio website, www.thepianoexpress.com, you will see one of our links is performances. One of those performers at the bottom of the page, his name's Ethan. He's only been playing the piano for 15 months. That was it. He shot through. He missed tons of classes because he was just graduating before we could bring him through a whole cycle. But he's studying now. He did leave our studio to study at the Peabody Conservatory. He's in high school now, but he doesn't even go to regular school. He's like so committed to music.
I wanted to speak to one more thing about the speed piece, which again, we're collaborating with Greg on Piano Express and grouplessons.com, and then having my own son go through it and kind of see on a week-to-week basis. For your average student, what I love so much about this, because Tim, you know, I taught group lessons for nearly 15 years. I didn't teach it in this particular way. I kind of had at the time, what I thought was probably the best conception of group lessons possible until I kind of ran into Greg's system 5 years ago. My point is this, though, that in all lesson structures, whether one-on-one or group, progress is tied to presence with the teacher. In other words, the teacher is the gatekeeper of the student moving forward. What I loved about my son's piano experience over the last year or two, he probably passed 90% of his song. No, he's taking online, I should say that. But that is kind of, I guess that's immaterial to the point at hand, because whether he's taking it online or whether he was going into the studio and doing it in person, he was passing probably 80 to 90% of his songs outside of the lesson because the software component allowed him to move forward. And what I saw then was something different from even some of my elite students back in the day when I was still teaching. And that is that he truly owned his own progress. It wasn't like, oh, the teacher is going to pass it for me. Like, it for him, it was a game. It was me against the machine, so to speak. And there was nothing about how, you know, the grading component works that kind of strips away something that's going to hinder him long term. It isn't going to hinder him long term. Anyway, I just kind of wanted to put that there because, again, that's if there was that concern about speed, that's just something that I think it wasn't something that held my son back. Anyway, just a thought.
I'm interested, and I have a feeling other teachers, particularly one-on-one teachers, will be thinking this. What about technique? If students tend to rush through, they can make a lot of progress in the first couple of years, and then things rapidly start slowing down because they haven't got the basics of movement fast enough, and they get stuck.
Yeah, there are things that machines can do that people can't do, and there are things that people do that, at least here in 2023, machines still can't do as well as we can. And I think teaching technique is something that definitely needs a human component. I do a lot of thinking, like, how can we create the most efficient system? It's like a hybrid of real people and technology. Okay, so the Piano Express is not like some of those softwares out there that are DIY, you know, you just download the app and learn piano. That's not what we are. But we use software in conjunction with real people. And the need for real people is at its clearest when it comes to technique. Every week we, in our second half of class, we tell everyone, okay, halfway through the hour, you turn off the machines. Everyone unplugs and we just talk about theory and we talk about technique for 30 minutes. A lot of one-on-one teachers are teaching 30-minute lessons as opposed to one-hour lessons. And in that 30 minutes, you need to do all of your assessment. You need to listen to the child. Did they practice? Are they ready for new songs? Here's what your new songs sound like. You need to keep the song for another week. Here's the changes that need made. And then whatever time's left, 10 minutes, 15, sometimes less, you try to teach some technique. And I know you can build technique into all of your assessment too. That happens. But just a focused step away from the assessment and just look at technique square in the face. We do that every week and we have more than enough time to do it. And so again, back to results, the students that go through the Piano Express system, they have sound technique. I always go back to results. Yeah, here in the United States, one of the most recognized, if not the most recognized standardized testing is the RCM, the Royal Conservatory of Music. One of our students just 2 years ago won the national gold medal. She scored the highest in the country. She had never played an acoustic piano. She had never been in a one-on-one lesson. She was learning in group lessons on digital pianos. And her technique was sound enough to get the highest score in the United States. So this just flies in the face of like people that believe that there's only one way to teach piano, and it's the traditional way. We're just, the proof is in the pudding. There's more than one way to do it.
I was glad to hear in your 1 hour lessons, which are longer than most. Let's be honest, that's a change as well. I was glad to hear that at least half the lesson isn't about individual work on a device. So in that half an hour, you mentioned theory and technique and that sort of thing. Do you play together? Because that's one of the most fundamental fun parts of group teaching to me. Is that part of it? Or is that something that teachers could supplement?
We do play together. Yeah. There's lesson plans. And the nice thing about becoming a Piano Express teacher, and you know, anyone that wants to learn more about becoming a Piano Express teacher, you know, at grouplessons.com, we train everyone with lesson plans. We give them like everything's cut out. You know, there's definitely room for every teacher to put their personality into it, but there's sight reading, ear training. But then, yes, playing together in unison, listening to each other, all of that is built into the lesson plans every week.
It sounds like definitely a lot of problems are solved. And you really, you labeled the two big ones. Well, the biggest one is the leveling one. And so for teachers who aren't using the software in this system, they either decide to do multi-level or multi-age groups and use a curriculum that suits that, which suits some teachers. Or you stick to one level. But then you have that issue of what happens when people come late, what happens when people progress too fast. So there are always challenges. So I think it's fantastic that you've thought so thoroughly about this and then gone and solved those issues. And the software must be quite comprehensive, I must say. This must have taken some some creating. Would that be right?
5 years.
Yeah, and we believe that the best is certainly still to come. We are hoping as we gain traction and more people come on board, we'll, you know, with better funding comes better products. We have a great thing today, and we think we're going to have a better thing tomorrow.
Well, look, I'm keeping an eye on the time. I'm going to start wrapping things up a little bit, and I thought it might be fun to finish with a bit of a sort of top three list. And I wondered if you could give our whether teachers are teaching one-on-one or groups at the moment, what would be the top three changes that will have an impact on your studio in 2023 list? Daniel, what do you think?
Yes. Yeah.
Top three considerations.
Let me just actually even piggyback on what Greg just said there, the idea of the product. And as music teachers, I know for me it took a mind shift. It took a change in perspective to begin seeing myself as that business owner and not just as a teacher. And obviously for the music school owner, it's a little bit easier to kind of view that because you do have a lot more pressure on you and a lot more considerations to have in running a business with a commercial location. But I think the theme for me, kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, is that so there are so many more resources right now for teachers. And so I think for me, as I'm looking forward in the decade that we're in, I'm thinking about simplicity. I'm thinking about what are the core components that have to be there. So I'm going to give three, like you said, Tim. First one is product. And that is just the delivery of the promise that you've made to that parent or that adult student who's come through your door. In my opinion, this is actually the most important one. I know people kind of know me as the group lessons guy, the marketing guy, but at the core of that, the reason my marketing worked so well was because the product was so good, and just in my own personal studio. And so I think that if you have something fundamentally at the core that is providing an amazing experience for people, it just makes everything else in business so much easier. And look, I realize that's really, really general, but I think that there are things that people can do to make that core component of what your studio is much, much better. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with, like, you know, the games you play with the kids or that sort of thing. It really just comes down to what kind of impact are you having? Are you making it feel, and this is my huge thing in my own studio, are you making it feel easy for that child? Because if it feels easy for them, they're going to keep coming back. They will stay for a long, long time. So the first one, I think, is just that focus on the product, creating something that parents can't say no to. Second thing would just be in growth. And to keep it simple, there's all kinds of information and advice out there about marketing. Right now, again, more resources than ever. And I would just boil it down to one thing. One simple, let's just call it a funnel, that you know how to track and that you know it's working correctly. There is so much marketing advice out there. And I know I'm guilty for part of that. You know, we're making more content than ever about marketing. But when it really boils down to it, you have one primary way that you master to predictably get calls or form fills or social media messages every week. Now, I happen to be quite partial to Google Ads. I've been preaching this for like 7 years now, to the point that I think people just start making fun of me because I don't ever change my tune, but it still really is the very best way. And I think it really has broken through because 7 years ago, I had to convince people that they should, that they shouldn't be afraid of it. Now, when people get on a call with me to evaluate their marketing, you know, like to have like a free intake session with me, they're already talking about it. So in that sense, I feel like my job has, that I've done a good job of kind of spreading the gospel of Google Ads, so to speak. But getting good at it, that's something else entirely. And that's something that we still really help studios do. There was a studio in a very, very tough competitive market in the United States and New York that came to us. Their studio was on the verge of collapse in late 2020. And they went from barely getting contacts. They were a commercial school too, with a big rent, to within the last couple of months, they're getting anywhere from 40 to 70 leads per month, just because they've kind of followed our marketing progression, and they want massive and rapid growth. And of course, they've got a pretty big advertising budget for it. But it's just one of those things that this advice applies equally to the single teacher studio and to the big commercial studio. So that's the second one. Before I jump to the third, Tim, do you have any questions about any of that stuff, or should I just go to the third one?
No, but I think it's only to say that I think it's good that you're sort of keeping in mind that, yeah, the goal of music teachers isn't always growth. There are plenty of teachers out there who are quite comfortable with a small studio, and that works for them.
All I was going to say is that for me, I had a bigger studio than most single teacher private studios, just because I was teaching group, but I did hit a point where I capped. And I didn't want more students. My dream was never to have 15, 20 teachers working for me or have a commercial location. I really loved what I had going on, and it was just so perfect. But because I had that system in place for me, I only needed a handful of new students per year, and I would get 200 requests. But what that allowed me to do was be in high demand. And I think every teacher, whether you want 20 students or 200, you know what that demand means. It means you get to handpick your students. It means you get to raise your rates more aggressively than other folks. Not that we're trying to, you know, not that we're just cynically after the money or whatever, but it's good to make a good living when you do a good job at what you do. And so for me, I didn't spend all that much time on the marketing by the time that I kind of had all this set up. And just, yeah, I really appreciate that, because I'm not about growth at all costs, but I think that there is a place for being good at that component of your business, whether you are a small studio, want to say that way, or you're a big one. So
yeah, that's just because it gives you flexibility. You can choose. I remember listening to you. Oh my goodness, it would be 3 or 4 years ago on a Facebook Live, and it still resonates with me that if you do have a wait list, a small wait list, or demand, as you say, you can pick and choose your students. And there are lots of teachers who complain on groups about students that they really shouldn't be teaching, but they feel they have to because there's no one else ready to take their place. And so I think what you're trying to say is, even if you're not looking to grow huge, the marketing tips that you share and that others share can help you at least get to a position where you can, as you say, raise your rates or at least charge what you're really worth, and gives you the flexibility to pick and choose your students a bit more, which is great for enjoying your teaching more. All right, what's the third one, Daniel?
So, yeah, I talked about focusing on the product and then focusing on growth, and the third one, focused on yourself. This is something that I've seen, especially in the last couple of years, because, again, going back to that theme of there's just so much information out there, there's so much support out there, that now we're in a position where people realize the information is there. And I just feel like I see a lot more teachers stressing out about all of the choice that's available to them. So before, it used to be like, I don't know how to get students. Now it's the anxiety of, I don't know how to get students. And should it be Google Ads? Or this person said social media, this person said TikTok, this person said I should start a podcast for my studio. I feel like I see more anxiety as I talk to usually about a half dozen new studio owners a week, just I get on a call with them, or maybe it's a studio owner I'm already working with. And in this day of, I think, increased anxiety, you know, if you're plugged into the popular culture, it isn't a controversial statement to say that anxiety is an all-time high for the human race right now. Just all the studies show that, all that sort of thing. I don't know if I would have said this 10 years ago. Maybe this is just a sign that I'm getting older. But I say, take a step back, focus on yourself, be really, really, really clear on what it is that you want for your students, for yourself, for your career. Become crystal clear on that, and then just block out everything else. And one of the pieces of advice that I gave, actually, I think she's been on your podcast, Jana Carlson, when she was first starting group lessons like 5-6 years ago, she was just talking about the kind of the stress and anxiety of switching over to group, kind of speaking about what you'd asked Greg earlier. And I said, you know what, you shouldn't be thinking about group at 10:30 at night, because that was something that she was kind of doing. I was like, be the CEO once a week. And this is what I do. Actually, on Sunday nights, I take an hour or two out and I look at the big picture of my life, of the business, of all that I've got going on. And I allow myself to let a lot of thoughts that I don't allow during my work week in, and just evaluate everything as a whole. And then I'm a drone through the week. Maybe not that extreme, but I try to be that as much as possible. I'm just executing. And what I see from a lot of people that I work with is just this constant self-doubt, this constant questioning, wondering if they should be doing this, that, and, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, all the way down the list. Oh, all these things I should do. Should I start a preschool program? Should I do group lessons? There's just this, shut it down. Just focus on yourself. Be really clear on what it is you want. Take a vacation with yourself, maybe, and just sit with a pen and paper in a quiet room. Get really clear on what it is you want, and then just block it all out. That's been extremely helpful for me. And yeah, those are my three: product, growth, and yourself. Those are the three considerations, the three focuses, I think, that can really, really help people.
Thanks, Daniel. CEO Sunday, let's call it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I never think of that before. CEO Sunday. Yeah, sounds so good.
Well, look, I think we better wrap things up. Greg, your program is called The Piano Express, and your studio is called The Piano Express, but it's all to be found at grouplessons.com. Am I right?
Yes.
Fantastic. And there are a heap of resources over there to go and explore. And Daniel, you are over at growyourmusicstudio.com. I think most people are aware of that. So we'll put links to all this in our show notes. Any sort of final comments before we wrap things up, Greg?
I would say, just adding to what Daniel said about taking care of yourself and managing stress, sometimes the best thing you can do for yourself is to make a change. You know, there's going to be people that are listening to this podcast. They came to this because they saw that we're going to talk about group lessons, and you know that, you know, group lessons is something that it's the right thing for you. It might be stressful to think about the change. It might be stressful to pull the trigger, but everything after that is better because you've done the right thing for yourself. And I think sometimes taking care of yourself, you have to hold your breath, jump into the deep end of the pool. I've had to do this a few times in my career. I've had to make changes that before I made it, I was just like, you know, nervous about it. But after it was done, because I knew it was the right thing for me, I've never looked back.
Quite right to wrap things up. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Greg and Daniel. Appreciate you both. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's interview with Greg and Daniel. If you've got any follow-up questions, then just find us over on any of our social media channels, or you can head to the show notes for today's episode and leave a comment. That's over at topmusic.co/episode322. And over on the Guitar Podcast with Michael Gumley this week, it's episode number 42, How to Create Guitar Orchestras and Large Ensembles for Your Students with Jason Martinez. Definitely don't miss that one. If you're not already a subscriber to the Guitar Podcast, you can find him by searching for Top Music Guitar Podcast on any of your podcast apps or over at topmusic.co/guitar042. And remember too that Michael and his guests always share information that's super valuable for teachers of all instruments. Some of them are very guitar specific, but a lot of them are very general and are applicable to teachers of multiple instruments. So definitely go and tune in, see what you think. And again, we'd love for you to leave a review on that podcast if you're enjoying it. Well, that's the end of the show for this week. I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. I'll speak to you again next time. How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education?
How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today. If you enjoy this show and want to hear more of our work, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening today. For links and resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at topmusic.co/podcast or check out the show notes. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast, a production of Top Music. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week ahead, and I'll catch you next time.